The PFD is officially announced, and redistricting maps await public input. Democratic State Senator Jesse Keel discusses both. And Southeast Alaska breaks the record for Dungeness crab prices paid out to harvesters. And a moose hunt update in the Chilkat Valley. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Mike Swayze. Those stories are up next. The Alaska PFD has been finalized, and residents should expect checks of roughly $1,100 to be distributed in October. Redistricting is also underway as numbers from the 2020 census look to reshape the districts in which Upper Lynn Canal voters are represented. I spoke with Democratic State Senator Jesse Keel, who represents Haines, Skagway, and Juneau, for more detail on both issues.
Looks like we've come to an agreement finally with the PFD. What's happening?
Yeah, folks will start seeing the PFD direct deposited in the middle of October. Paper checks for those who still get those go out a little later than that. But that amount will be right about $1,100 this year. That is as much as we can provide without drawing an unsustainable amount out of the permanent fund. It taps out pretty much all the savings accounts, but it does pay the largest PFD amount that we can while providing the services the state needs to and protecting the value of the permanent fund for the long term.
It seemed like it was quite an ordeal to get to this $1,100, which is a number that you've talked about for months. Was there anything that had to be given up to get to this spot, or was it just finally people got on board?
Oh, you know, there was arm twisting and horse whipping, and figuratively, of course. You know, it was a combination of math and folks who really do believe that you can take extra out of the permanent fund today and not do too much harm tomorrow. And they did not end up having the votes to win on that.
Jesse, tell me why the PFD is so important to Alaskans.
Originally, it protected the ability to grow the permanent fund and replace our oil wells with money wells, with investment resources. We have, to a large extent, done that. It's not a personal property right. It's a government program, and it's a vitally important one. It helps needy families, working families, finish out the year with their bills paid. It reduces poverty.
Okay, the other topic I wanted to talk about is redistricting. What's happening there?
The redistricting board right now has a solid majority from one party, but they are taking their job seriously. And their biggest single job is to redraw those lines of which Alaskans are together for the purpose of electing their representatives on the principle of one person, one vote. We counted the people with the census. The federal government did that. And now we need that board to draw districts where every House district is as close as they can get within reason to 18,330 some odd people. And so a Senate district will be, 36-6. And a couple of board members have drafted maps, and a number of public groups have drafted some maps. And the board has put those out for public comment. And so you can look at them at akredistrict.org. And they've got galleries and galleries of maps and third-party maps and as much detail as you can stomach. But here are the big questions. Which communities should be put together in a district for the alignment of their interests, for what the Constitution requires, which is they should be contiguous. You can't have one jump over another. They should be compact, and they should be socioeconomically integrated. In my view, it's kind of a no-brainer for Lynn Canal communities to be together. The city and borough of Juneau is not two House districts worth of population, so it needs to reach out and include neighboring communities. And which ones is a big question. There are versions of that map that have Juneau joining with Petersburg. Most versions of that map have Juneau together with Haines and Skagway. And then, of course, questions of where you draw the line within Juneau. Some of those lines that are proposed are really weird. Several of them, by the way, cross natural boundaries and cross highways to put our two current representatives in the same district. The Alaska Supreme Court has called those weird little bumps in the line unnatural appendages, but most of us just call them gerrymandering. It doesn't make sense to draw a Southeast district that doesn't have a dock in it, right? All of Southeast Alaska has maritime infrastructure and a maritime economy.
All right, Senator Jesse Keel, thank you so much for the time.
Thanks, Mike.
To participate in the redistricting conversation, you can submit questions through akredistrict.org.
The board is also holding an open meeting in Haines from 2:30 to 4 p.m. on Tuesday, September 28th, in Assembly Chambers. The board has until November 10th to finalize its plans. The new districts will be in effect for the state's 2022 elections. Record-breaking prices were paid for Southeast Alaska's Dungeness crab this summer. The harvest was close to average, but the value of the crab was exceptional. KFSK's Angela Denning reports.
Southeast's summer Dungeness crab season ended up being worth $13 million. That's about double what the average has been the last decade. The summer fishery brought in just over 3.09 million pounds of Dungeness crab. That's slightly above the 10-year average, but well below last year's near-record harvest. Still, the average price paid for Dungeness crab this summer was a record breaker at $4.21 per pound.
That's a record high price for the fishery.
Joe Stratman oversees the fishery as Southeast's lead crab biologist for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. He says this year's fishery was worth about $3 million more than last year's.
Crabs last year were purchased at a much lower price of $1.70 a pound. So the price this year was more than double.
The 10-year average is $2.70 per pound.
This summer, in terms of total value and average price, it vastly exceeds the recent 10-year average.
It sort of took a lot of people by surprise.
Dan Lesh tracks fishery prices for the McKinley Research Group. He says they've seen record prices for Alaska's crab species since last fall.
One of the explanations is just that people actually had more disposable income because they were spending less on services during the pandemic, and we're looking for ways to spend it. And seafood, especially premium seafood, seemed to hit that target really well, what people were looking to spend their money on.
Overall, seafood sales at retail have been up over 30% during the pandemic, Lesh says. The Dungeness summer season ran 2 months, from mid-June to mid-August. The strength of the fishery during the first week has set the stage for the whole season. It showed enough crab to hold a full season through the fall and winter. That calculated out to an estimated full season harvest of 4.23 million pounds, which is slightly above the 10-year average. 205 permit holders fished this summer in Southeast. Smaller boats can't participate in the Dungeness fishery, unlike tanner or king crab that requires larger boats. Stratman says it's a unique fishery that people can get started in.
It's truly like an entry-level fishery. I mean, there's everything from small skiffs to, you know, plus 60-foot boats participating in the fishery. So there's a lot of permit holders, a lot of deckhands, and there's also a big shoreside component to it, too, processing Dungeness. So it's an important fishery in the region.
The fall season for Dungeness crab opens on October 1st. Most of the region will close on November 30th. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
Three more moose hunters in the Chilkat Valley have gotten lucky since last week. 10 moose have been taken as of Monday, according to local Alaska Department of Fish and Game officials, one moose in each category. The total is now 2 spike fork bulls, 6 with 3 brow tines, and 2 with an over 50-inch antler spread. 4 KHNS News, I'm Mike Swayze. Thanks for joining us. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website, khns.org. You can also subscribe to or follow KHNS News anywhere you get your podcasts.